Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Okay, tell your faces that. Let's get into worshiping. I always love this time of year, this interim between Ascension and Pentecost. Not that we should only think about the Holy Spirit once a year, because it is the Holy Spirit that makes us church together. And as we come to this period, we're going to think again about who the Holy Spirit is. Through our Lent studies, we were thinking about the promise of the Holy Spirit and how we will never be left alone. It is the Holy Spirit who teaches and reminds. So when something springs into your mind during the service, other than did I put the oven on, that will be the Holy Spirit prompting you. And it's good to remember that the Spirit of God is within each one of us who believes in Jesus for our salvation, and that we too can say, I was lost, but now I'm found. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, Creator, in the beginning you moved over the waters. From your breath, all creation drew life. Without you, life turns to dust. And we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Counselor, by your inspiration, the prophets spoke and acted in faith. You clothed them in power to be bearers of your word. Holy Spirit, power, you came as fire to Jesus' disciples. You gave them voice before the rulers of this world. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your Spirit equip us to worship you now and always. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we will pray and sing together number 564, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Oh,
Let's come before our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit to help us to pray as we ought. Creator God, we thank you that we can come together on this new day to worship and to give our thanks and praise to you. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you will be with us in all that we seek to do today. Lord, as we come into your house of worship, your house of peace, may we find rest from all that the outside would burden us with, so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you that we can find you in your beautiful creation. Lord, that you created beauty for us to be able to wander and rest and find you in those quiet times. We thank you for the example of Jesus, who showed us how to live a holy life, a life set apart in service for you, amongst all that would seek to destroy that peace. Lord, we thank you as we consider this time between Ascension and Pentecost, that you had a plan right from the very beginning, that you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one, would not leave us alone. That, Lord, that you want us to come and worship and know you as our Lord and as our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, that we can have an encounter with our living God. No other idols will do, no other things that the world would put in our way will do. We can only find peace and rest in you. Lord, we're sorry for the times that we try and go our own way, for the things, Lord, that we put in the way of what you're asking us to do. But we thank you, Lord, that you are there with your arms wide open, welcoming us back, asking us to consider a different way, your way. And as we've just sung, Lord, may we ponder anew what the Almighty can do. We ask for the energy and vision of your Spirit. Lord, we pray for those who are tired in the battle against injustice and oppression. We give thanks, Lord, for the peacemakers, but also, Lord, that those will be exhausted by the struggle with poverty and with hunger. And so we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help us. For each and every one of us, Lord, and those beyond ourselves, we ask for the hope and comfort of your Spirit. For those whose lives are overshadowed by illness or pain. For those whose lives are darkened by sorrow or bereavement. Lord, we ask for peace and joy of your Spirit for those living in the shadow of war and violence. We pray for our persecuted sisters and brothers, Lord, that they would stand strong. Lord, as a church, we ask for the guidance and strength of your Holy Spirit. Perhaps sometimes, Lord, we are uncertain how to use the time and the talents and the gifts that you have given each one of us. So we pray for the love and courage of your Holy Spirit. You would show us, Lord, how to be your church to one another and to be in our community. Lord, that we would be united and not distracted by the lies and the gossip of the world. And so we ask, loving God, for the assurance of your Spirit, to know as we will be thinking today of your presence within us in our daily lives, in our relationships, in our service, in our worship. We say, Holy Spirit, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And as we continue those thoughts from our prayers, we'll sing number 1183. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into our willing souls. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? And the words are just like a prayer for what we want to be as church for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're very much taking Jesus' focus as he was speaking to his disciples in the Gospel of John. He told them that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Oh, we say sometimes we don't quite comprehend what the disciples were going through because we come at it from 21st century believers. We know what Jesus went through. We know where Jesus went as we celebrated Ascension last week. We know that the Holy Spirit came. Jesus knew he was going away and that his followers would need another, the Holy Spirit, as helper and advocate to remind them of his teachings. It is the Holy Spirit who provides counsel to Christ's followers. I think one of the great mysteries of the Christian faith, that God, through his Son and Holy Spirit, wants to dwell in each one of us who calls ourselves believers. How can that be? And Jesus continues to explain. We'll never understand what the disciples thought when Jesus said it's an advantage that he's going. But Jesus knew, and God knew, that as long as Christ is physically present, his followers will be tempted to see their faith as something external, or even, as we realise, political. The work of the Holy Spirit, however, will not only guide believers towards the truth, but it will establish a personal faith within all who have faith in Christ. And so I'll ask Michelle if she will give us our reading this morning.
So the reading this morning is page 1084 in the Bibles in the pew. It's John 16, verses 5 to 15, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment about sin. Because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where he can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Amen.
So after our next hymn, we're going to ponder anew what the believers knew about the Holy Spirit and what it means to us to have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And so we'll sing number 89, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Gracious God, I ask you to guide us into all your truth. Open up our hearts. Remove all barriers. Speak to our hearts so that we might possess and demonstrate your holy word to all around us. Amen. So as I was saying, after Jesus' ascension, which we celebrated last Sunday, but also on Thursday, which was the actual day, the disciples and early believers are now awaiting the Holy Spirit, as we read at the back end of Luke, as the promise of the Father and power from on high. They gathered in prayer for around 10 days in anticipation and obedience. What a prayer meeting that must have been. And we know upon receiving the Spirit at Pentecost, which we will celebrate next Sunday, they declared it as the fulfillment of prophecy, as the prophet Joel's words were proclaimed, and they received empowerment for global ministry. I ask myself, because again, these are familiar passages, especially when you preach them annually, did the disciples actually understand about the Holy Spirit? We know from our reading and from the introduction I gave that Jesus gave them some teaching in John 14 and John 16. And as we said, you know, Jesus wanted to instruct them as much as he could before his death on the cross. And yes, they would have heard the Old Testament writings. I do wonder if in this 10-day prayer meeting, whether they would have discussed what we now call the Holy Spirit, the Old Testament would have said about the Holy Spirit. Who comes as a dove? I don't wonder sometimes what we understand, because we've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. But whenever I speak about the Holy Spirit, it's important, as always, to clarify what the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. Often people say, well, I don't feel. Sometimes the Holy Spirit works and we don't necessarily have to feel anything. It is not your Holy Spirit, rather it is the Holy Spirit. It's correcting that thought that our spirit, our little S spirit, is the big S spirit. In fact, he is not an it at all. People know at Bible study, if I ever hear the Holy Spirit referred to as an it, I say, the Holy Spirit is a he. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. He's part of the Godhead. He is God. Yes, he has certain functions which are different to those of Jesus. But at the same time, he is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. And if you read the wonderful Romans 8, you will know that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of Jesus. You try and understand that or explain that to somebody who says, pardon what? Kind of similar to some of your faces now. The Holy Spirit indwells in all those who believe in Jesus for their salvation. So what did the disciples, I'll get it right in a minute, understand about the Holy Spirit? The role of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is much like his role in the New Testament. If we look through the whole of God's word, we see how the Holy Spirit works in rebirth, in indwelling, in restraining. Who do you think sometimes stops us saying from what we think we're going to say? And we go, Empowerment for service. We see evidence of the Holy Spirit's work not just in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament. Have you ever looked through the Old Testament to find evidence of the Holy Spirit? Some yeses, some noes. Do we think that he just goes, ta-da, at Pentecost, I'm here? If you were listening at the start of the service when I gave a call to worship, I was saying that the Holy Spirit was present at creation. Holy Spirit empowered the prophets. The disciples, we know, would have had only the Hebrew Bible, so that part of the Old Testament, which would have been the law, so the first five books. They'd have had the prophets. They would have had historical books like Joshua and Samuel and Kings. They would have had the writings like the Psalms and the Proverbs. But in the first century, when the disciples were sharing together, praying together, I think sharing scripture together, they weren't collected like we have them in a single bound Bible. They would have been written on individual scrolls, rolled up animal skins or papyrus, because as we know, they were incredibly expensive and very laborious to produce. They wouldn't have had their own copies. They would have heard them spoken at the synagogue. And so a lot of scripture for our disciples would have been memorized. And so when they were talking together, they would have been excited. You know, at the Bible study, when people want to say, I know this in the Bible, ping, 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 it's great. It's awesome. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings to mind what we already know. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was actively present as the empowering creative force of God. As I've said many times, he came upon people. The difference between the old and the new he indwells. And sometimes it was temporarily, so that the person that God sent the Holy Spirit to would have the power to do what God wanted them to do. And we see him coming upon leaders and prophets and craftsmen. At creation, he is a hovering presence. I told the story of when I was at college studying for ministry, that one of our lecturers sat down. He just marked a paper. Somebody had put a spelling mistake. The Holy Spirit was hovering above the waters. I mean, in some ways, I kind of think, well, actually, yeah, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He does clear up the mess. But anyway, it made us all laugh. I did say to him, actually, it was my friend that was sat next to me that had done it. She hadn't, but it made him a little bit like, ooh, shouldn't have said that. But we see him in the Old Testament also as the breath of life, that ruach that we read about if we read it in Hebrew. We see him imparting breath to humanity. The way that he empowers the leaders to enable them to deliver Israel through Joshua and Gideon and Samson for specific tasks, for the guy who had the skills to create the tabernacle that we read in Exodus. We see him through the prophets, we see him in David, and as I said, we even hear the words of Joel proclaimed. I'm not going to spoil your thunder. But we also understand in the Old Testament that at that point the Holy Spirit was temporary, but he also gave wisdom. I don't think Joseph would have got through what Joseph got through without the help of the Holy Spirit. Overall, the Spirit performs much of the same functions in the Old Testament as he does in this current age. As I said, the main difference is that he is indwelling is this in each and every one who believes in him. Jesus said regarding the change, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. As the disciples waited in anticipation and obedience, I wonder if they did discuss the Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament. I wonder if they could have anticipated how that same Holy Spirit would empower them for ministry and mission and embolden them to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Because if we read each of the individual stories of the disciples, they did indeed go to the ends of the earth. And yet for those who read or listen to Lectio, there are still many nations who are yet to hear the word of God. 2,000 years later, there are still people who have not heard the word of God. And so we continue the work that the Spirit inspires us to do. And we also understand that the Holy Spirit, his indwelling, becomes the evidence of the transformation, not just of the disciples, but of each and every one of us. It must have been a hard watch for the disciples. They wanted Jesus. They loved Jesus. They will be adjusting to life without Jesus in person, to be seen there with their own eyes. As we read in John 13 and 14 and 16, they asked about Jesus leaving. The real meaning of their question was along the lines of, well, why are you leaving me? What will happen to me? And I'm sure that's probably the question we would have asked. The person that's dragged us out of our profession, trailed us around Galilee for 3 years, has now said, I'm off now. What does that mean to me? But they asked because they want to know what would, they didn't ask what was going to happen to Jesus. And as I said at the start, we as contemporary believers have the benefit of hindsight. We read about the description of Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. We know about the resurrection. The disciples originally listening to that, what Jesus was saying, didn't have that perspective. Christ must leave the world so his followers will learn to depend on the influence of his Holy Spirit. His Spirit will guide and judge and speak in order to bring glory to God. It's not enough to exist with the belief that the Father and the Son are first and that the Holy Spirit is secondary. They are equal and work in harmony with each other. The uniqueness of the Holy Spirit is his presence within us. God with us. Jesus said before he ascended to heaven that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell within us as believers. With that, he empowers us to live victoriously for the cause of Christ and for the glory of the Father. The Holy Spirit is a beautiful and powerful part of who God is. We need him in our life as a conduit, as a channel, as communication to become who God created us to be. And through his power, we have assistance in all situations, because without him, we are powerless. Billy Graham wrote, "The Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us." And that's what we do when we come and we listen to God's word on a Sunday or our Bible study groups. As we read our own, as we listen to our own devotions during the week, we pray first that the Holy Spirit would help us to understand. Our very first encounter with the Holy Spirit is when he convicts us of our sin, shows us that none of us can live up to the righteousness of Jesus, and reveals to us the judgment that is coming for those who die without a Saviour. As we repent, as we confess our sins and receive the gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit regenerates us, regenerates our dead inner being, and helps us to become sensitive to the things of God. And I don't know about you at the moment, but I want to be more sensitive to the things of God rather than the things of our world. what is about to happen, as we've read this morning in those verses that we heard, is God's plan to transform the entire world. As Christians, we know the marvelous yet mysterious experience of having the Holy Spirit as our companion and guide, even though we can't see him. Jesus promised his disciples that when he left this earth, he would send someone else to be with them. I tell you the truth in verse 7. I always like that when Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I wouldn't expect him not to, but you know, in other versions, it's truly, truly. It is your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus offered his friends similar words of comfort during the week of his crucifixion in John 14. And he's also in Matthew 28, as we had a few weeks ago, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus ascended to heaven, but he would send the Spirit to stay and live within his people. When I think of the Holy Spirit, that's how I primarily think of him. God with us, helping and empowering us to live an abundant life that radiates the awesomeness of God. I don't know you, but I'm constantly aware of my need for divine help. You know, you realise, don't you, when you're at the end of yourself, that there's somebody else who can come along and help us. Why we don't go there in the first place, I shall never know. As my fight for control, my own spirit, little s, fights for control, it is the Spirit, big S, that steps in and helps me to remember who God created me to be. When we're feeling powerless or tired or like we're falling and failing at life, we can have confidence as a believer that we are not alone. We can start each day knowing that the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He is the power that sustains us and energizes us and keeps us on the holy path. We should not hesitate to invite him in. The Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate, provides the ability for each Christian to have constant, personal, immediate, indwelling communication with God, instead of relying on someone outside of themselves, as the world accuses and advises. Believers in Christ can focus on the voice of God inside our hearts as he dwells within us. We have the advantage of his influence so far as we are willing to submit to it. We experience the Spirit's comfort and peace when we are upset. We receive his guidance when we're wondering what to do. He opens our eyes to understand more of God, and he helps us in our weaknesses and prays for us on those days when we just don't have the words. And that's just for starters. He stays with us forever. So what do you need from the Holy Spirit today? How can know that he is always with you help you? Though he is invisible to our eyes, the Holy Spirit is with us every day, just as Jesus walked with his disciples on earth. He keeps us honest and focused and encourages us to glorify Christ. We thank God that Jesus did not leave us alone. He has given us his Holy Spirit to comfort and teach and guide, to bear the truth and to convict us. So I want us in this week leading up to Pentecost to spend it in anticipation and obedience, just like those disciples, of what the Holy Spirit is saying to each one of us, to our church, for our church, for our community, because we want to see it and ourselves transformed. Amen. And so we pray. Holy Spirit, sanctifier, you created us children of God. You make us the living temple of your presence. You intercede within us with sighs too deep for words. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, giver of life, you guide and make holy the church that you create. You give gifts, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and courage, the spirit of knowledge and devotion, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that the whole creation may become what you planned it to be. True and only light, from whom comes every good gift, send your spirit into our lives with the power of a mighty wind. Open the horizons of our minds by the flame of your wisdom. Loosen our tongues to show your praise, for only in your spirit can we voice your words of peace and acclaim Jesus as Lord. And so may our spirits say together, come, Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to sing for some of that freedom, number 664, The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Now may the Spirit of truth guide you into all truth, and may you be filled with the comfort of the Advocate. As you go, may the peace of God dwell in you richly, and may the Holy Spirit empower you to bear witness to the love and glory of Jesus Christ, both now and forevermore. Amen.